Lowe's knows July 4th savings are worth celebrating. Right now, get up to 40% off select major appliances and get an additional 10% off two or more select major appliances. Plus, get three Scotts Naturescapes 1.5 cubic foot mulch bags for just $10. These deals are coming in hot. Lowe's, we help, you save. Valid through 7/9. Selection varies by location. While supplies last, see Lowe's.com for more details. Excludes Alaska and Hawaii.
This is the podcast where the dark and creepy things we don't talk about discover a voice. This is Into the Paranormal with Tony Bruschi.
Well, folks, some houses are built to last, and some seem to come with a whole lot more than a fresh coat of paint and new plumbing. Today's story comes from a newly built house that on the surface should have been perfect. But let me tell you, sometimes a house doesn't need age to be haunted. It just needs the right mix of fear, isolation, and things that go bump in the night. I'm Tony Bruschi, and today we're looking at what happens when a seemingly ordinary house in Cape Town becomes the stage for something much bigger and far more sinister. Imagine you're a teenager excited about your brand new room on the opposite end of the house from your parents. Freedom, right? Until things start to feel off. Your pets refuse to sleep with you. Strange noises break the silence, and one night, you feel your cat lying on your face. Except the next morning, your mom reminds you the cat wasn't even home. And then there's the sleepover. Nothing says good times like staying up late with your best friend, until you both hear a voice outside shouting, "Get out!" And someone tries to twist the door handle of your locked bedroom. And the weird part? No one was there. Now, I don't know about you, but when a house starts interacting with you like that, it raises a lot of questions. And the scariest part? This house wasn't some century-old mansion built over a cemetery. It was brand new, makes you wonder, was something waiting for them, lying dormant beneath the foundations, or did it just decide to move in along with the family? And here's the kicker. Even after the family leaves, the nightmares don't. For years, the storyteller is haunted by dreams of that house, always the same, nighttime, rain, and something unseen dragging them through the halls. So what do you think? A house with bad vibes? Or something darker that latched on and never let go? Let's dig in and find out. Dear Tony, I've been holding on to this story for years, and I finally decided to share it. Maybe getting it all out will help me make sense of it, or at least help me stop dreaming about that house. It all started back in 2000 when my parents and I moved into our new home in Parklands, Cape Town. I was 15, going on 16, and the idea of having my own room on the far side of the house was like a dream come true. My dad designed the place himself, and my room was as far from theirs as possible. Just what every teenager thinks they want, right? At first, everything seemed perfect, but it didn't stay that way for long. The weird stuff started almost right away, and for some reason, it all seemed to focus on me. My dog, cat, and even my pet rat, none of them would sleep in my room anymore, even though they always had before. I didn't think much of it at first. Maybe they just didn't like the new place, but things quickly escalated. One night, I was lying in bed watching TV and must have fallen asleep with the remote next to me. Out of nowhere, I woke up with my heart pounding because the TV was blaring. The volume had somehow cranked itself all the way up. The remote was right there on my bedside table, untouched. I figured maybe I rolled onto it somehow, though that didn't make much sense. I turned off the TV, tried to shake it off, and went back to sleep, but the uneasy feeling lingered like something was watching me. Then there was the night I woke up thinking my cat had curled up on my pillow. I felt her tail brush across my face and instinctively reached up to push it away. But the moment I touched it, whatever was there freaked out. Scrambled off my pillow and I felt a sharp scratch run across my cheek as it left. I shot up, turned on the light, and she wasn't there. I looked everywhere calling her name, but she was nowhere in the room. The next morning, my mom asked me if the cat had come home during the night. Apparently, she hadn't come in before my mom went to bed. I just stared at her, feeling the scratch sting on my cheek, wondering what the hell I'd felt on my pillow. To this day, I have no idea what scratched me, but it left a clear mark. After that, the fear started to creep in. I hated being alone in my room at night. Every time I turned off the lights, I'd get this awful feeling like something was there with me, just waiting. Things got worse the night my best friend, Janine, came over for a sleepover. We stayed up late, chatting the way we always did, when suddenly we heard shouting from the street. My room faced the front of the house, so we pressed our faces to the window to see what was going on.
"In there!"
The voice was male, and it was yelling something that sounded like, "Get out!" or "Get off!" We scanned the road, but there was no one there. No movement, no sound, nothing but empty streetlights. The whole street was eerily quiet, like whatever we'd heard had already vanished. We sat back on the bed, confused and more than a little freaked out. That's when the door handle to my room turned. Twice. Now, the thing about my door is that the latch was broken, so we had to lock it to keep it closed. I thought maybe it was my dad checking on us. I called out, "Dad?" But there was no answer. The handle twisted again, and I called his name louder, but still nothing. Neither of us dared to get up and open the door. We just sat there, staring at the handle, frozen in place. For the rest of the night, the sensor light outside by the garage kept flicking on and off, as if someone was pacing back and forth. We huddled together under the covers and didn't sleep until the sun came up. The next morning, I asked my parents if one of them had tried to open my door during the night. They both said no, and I knew they were telling the truth. Whatever tried to get in wasn't them. A few months later, my aunt moved in with us. She took the room across from mine, and I told her everything that had been happening. She wasn't surprised. She dealt with strange things before in her old apartment. She offered to help me do a blessing on the house, but life got in the way, and we never got around to it. Still, her presence seemed to help. I didn't feel as scared with her around, and the strange occurrences slowed down, at least for a while. But then one night, something happened that I still can't explain. I woke up in the middle of the night with this overwhelming sense of sadness. It was like a heavy weight pressing down on my chest, and I couldn't hold back the tears. I sat up in bed, and for a moment, it felt like I was floating, like I was being lifted just above my mattress. Then, the strangest thing happened. I saw soft orange waves of light surrounding me, and all that sadness melted away. It was the most comforting feeling I've ever experienced. Like someone was telling me it would all be okay. I had this sense that a female presence was with me. Something kind, something good. It felt like it was chasing away whatever dark energy had been tormenting me. After that night, nothing ever bothered me in the house again. It was as if whatever had haunted me was finally gone. After that night with the strange orange light, things finally started to feel normal again. At least, as normal as they could be. It was like whatever had been lurking in my room had been pushed out, and for the first time in a long while, I could sleep without that heavy, creeping fear. I wish that was where the story ended. But something still doesn't sit right with me, even all these years later. You see, my parents split up a couple of years after that. When the divorce happened, they decided to sell the house as part of the settlement. By then, I was 17, and to be honest, I was glad to leave. I thought once we were out of that house, I'd finally get some peace, but I was wrong. It started with the dreams. For the last 8 years, I've had the same dream over and over again. In every dream, I'm back in that house. It's always nighttime, and it's always raining. The place feels dark and suffocating, like the air itself is thick with something evil. In the dream, there's a presence, a force I can't see, but I know it's there. It never speaks, but it doesn't need to. I can feel its anger. It grabs me, pulls me, drags me through the house, throwing me around like a rag doll. I fight back, but it's like I'm weightless, powerless against it. Every time I wake up from one of these dreams, I feel exhausted, like I've actually been in a fight, and the scariest part, the dream never changes. It's always the same, down to the smallest detail. I've tried to make sense of it. Why this house? Why me? It was brand new when we moved in. No old history, no tragic stories about previous owners. But then I heard a rumor that parts of Parklands were built over what used to be a dump site. Some people even whispered that bodies might have been buried out there back when no one was keeping track. Could that be what stirred up the strange energy in the house? It's not just the house that bothers me, though. What really scares me is that all the weird things, seeing the cat that wasn't there, hearing the shouting from the street, the handle twisting on its own, only happened to me. No one else in my family experienced anything like it. Even my aunt, who was used to dealing with the paranormal, said the house seemed quiet to her. So why me? Why was I the one who felt it? And why do the dreams still come back year after year as if the house hasn't let go of me? I've tried everything, ignoring it, meditating, even talking to people who know about this kind of thing. Some say it's just trauma from the divorce manifesting in my dreams. Others think the presence in the house might have latched onto me because I was emotionally vulnerable at the time. But what if it's something else? What if the house isn't done with me? The worst part is, every time I have the dream, I wake up with the same feeling I had back then, like something is watching me. Like it's just waiting for the right moment to come back. So, Tony, what do you think? Was it just an overactive imagination fueled by teenage fear and family stress? Or is there something more to this? Something that's still lingering, waiting in the shadows? Thanks for listening to my story. If you have any thoughts or advice, I'd love to hear them. Sometimes I wonder if talking about it will finally break the spell, or if it'll just make the dreams come back even stronger. In love and lighting, Emma. Well, folks, this one's a bit of a head-scratcher, isn't it? A brand new house with no dark history, or so we think, serving up a full platter of paranormal activity. You've got phantom pets, disembodied voices, doors trying to open on their own, and let's not forget dreams that refuse to stay in the past. So what do we make of this? Let's dig in. First, let's take a rational look at it. Moving into a new house, especially at a young age, comes with its own kind of stress. Throw in a family split, an emotional vulnerability, and it's easy to see how the mind could start playing tricks. Maybe Emma's heightened emotions attracted attention from the unexplained, or maybe it was just her mind finding ways to process the chaos around her. And when emotions are left unresolved, they can show up in dreams. Recurring nightmares? They could be Emma's subconscious trying to work through trauma that never really got closure. But here's where things get a little weird. Animals refusing to sleep in her room, that's not something you can just write off. Dogs, cats, even a pet rat, all sensing something off? That's a red flag. Animals don't care about stress or imagination, they just react to what's there. And then there's the door handle twisting on its own, the male voice shouting outside with no one in sight. When multiple people experience the same thing at the same time, it's hard to chalk it up to coincidence. Now let's take a step into the paranormal lane. Some might say Emma was the perfect target for a spirit. Young, emotional, and spending a lot of time alone in that room at the far end of the house. If there was something lingering on that land, whether it was from a burial site or a forgotten dump, it might have attached itself to her. Spirits are known to latch onto the vulnerable, and Emma's experience fits that pattern. And what about the orange waves of light she saw? Some might interpret that as a guardian spirit, maybe even a protective female presence chasing away whatever dark energy had taken root in the house. But if that's the case, why did the dreams keep coming back? It's like whatever was haunting her didn't leave. Just waited for the right time to show up again, this time in her dreams. The big question is, was Emma's story one of a haunted house, or was she the one being haunted all along? If that's the case, selling the house wouldn't make a difference. Spirits don't care about real estate, they care about unfinished business. So here's something to think about. When your dreams keep pulling you back to a place you left years ago, what do you do? Do you ignore it and hope it fades? Or do you face it head on and risk waking up whatever's waiting in the dark? I'm Tony Bruschi, and remember, when the past keeps calling, it might not just be nostalgia knocking at your door. Sleep tight, folks.
Want more ghost stories of the paranormal? Press subscribe now wherever you get podcasts. We're dropping new ghost stories every single day, all year long. This is Into the Paranormal with Tony Bruschi.